share with you a thought process. There's two parts to the thought process. Thinking about, should I start talking about Purim now? I said maybe. I mean, no. Let me see. So in your mail, look at one of my, over the years I've given 20 plus years worth of two or three shmuz on Purim. Some of them are overlaps, but I look at something old. And then over Shabbos, I was in the Laker for Shabbos, and I had an experience, and I mentioned to one of my old Talmidims, I was in Laker for Shabbos. He says, you know, he remembers every time I go to Laker for Shabbos, I'd come back and I'd say a shmuz about my experiences in Laker and Shabbos. So I actually had an experience in Laker and Shabbos I want to share with you. And I said, wow, look at that. That's my share. That, you know, I should be able to remind it that I used to do that. So we were Shabbos Shabbos, who's my very close friend. And so he, beginning of the Shevruchos, he gets up and he's emceeing, and he starts saying thank you to his wife for putting together the chas in such short notice, and etc. You know, he starts making the whole list of thank yous. And he says, so we were the only non-family members there for the Shabbos Shevruchos. So he thanked the Reingolds, he says, because when they got married in Carlisle, they actually lived next door in the apartment building to us, which means we shared this very thin paper wall between the two of us for years. He says that they gained the tremendous amount of she'ifas, they based on their friendship with the Reingolds next door. My wife looks like, what did they gain from us? I have no idea. But what I did gain from them was a lot of ideas about she'ifas from their lives. So I want to share with you that. So he has put out a sefer, a few svarim, called the Kutei Shoshanim, and I was once talking to Mr. Beagleizen, Rabbi Beagleizen, maybe it's a Muslim, or, you know, there's an average of 250 new svarim which come out every week nowadays. Between all the different, you know, light learning Torah, Baruch Hashem, and there's, you know, different mixoyas, and people, you know, putting out their own Kedusha Torah, and which is a mind-boggling swarm in kates. The pasuk says, you know, the more swarm you make, the less kates, the longer the kates is going to be, according to one pshat in the pasuk, because you have to win all the Torah before Mashiach comes. So what's going to be? Okay, but hopefully that's not the pshat. But it's a swarm in kates, Moshe, there's no limit. Now, most of them, or many of them, unless it's like, you know, a very important mitzvah, which hasn't really been well discussed, they don't sell so well. You know, the person sells a sefer, doesn't sell so well. And even if it sells, like, you know, you look at it a few times, you put it on the shelf, and you never, you know, it doesn't really get used. The person puts out Kedusha Torah on a Masechta, there's very few swarm. If it's a Likud sefer and he's taka good at it, so maybe, you know, because Marmar Karmis, Likutim, etc. But a person writing his sefer with his own Kedusha doesn't usually make it. His sefer is made it. I was holding. I mean, I have all the copies of the Swarm with the, he gave me his matanas. I was holding one time, and Rabbi Frank says, "Oh, we were in Lakewood, Carlo, and you know, in the Carlo in Los Angeles, we were learning the Sugar Ribbis. We used that sefer." Like, I met somebody else somewhere. He says, "Yeah, I was learning, you know, Bebeya, so of course we use the sefer. Like, it's used." And that's quite an extraordinary thing that a sefer, which is used, and it's used not by, you know, like high level to the Chachamim, are using the sefer. So that was a comment which came up multiple times over the Shabbos that his sefer is used. So what's unique about the sefer? So I was thinking about it, and I think after like the sixth different speaker who mentioned the fact that his Swarim are learned, etc., you know, his Shir is very proud of it. You know, he spoke and mentioned it, and then, you know, this Shogar mentioned it, and that Shogar mentioned it, and that, you know, it was like, okay. He's a person who's willing to take a sugya and learn it, and learn it, and learn it, till he gets a klor. And if he has a point, doesn't understand, so he'll go back and work it out. And he doesn't say Grosha Chedushim. He works through the Shitas Rishonim and the Sugya, what the Ramban is learning, what the Rashba is learning, what the Ritva is learning, how they're different, how they're the same, how they saw the flow of the Gemara, what problems they had, there are in each one of the Mahalchim, how could you answer those things. And then he quotes references to all the places in the Perek where the Ramban or the Rashba Ritva seems like something which fits with that or not. So you get a very comprehensive picture of what you're learning. So at the end of the day, what he's really giving you is the Rishonim on the sugya in a very, very clear way with a lot of tremendous amount of thought. He's a very patient person, and he's able to sit to do that, you know, and he does that, and he does it, and he plugs at it. He spends most of the day learning by himself, not with a rooster, because he needs to work this out, and he's been doing this 34 years in Kabul. He's still in Kabul, 34 years, I guess. Such a tremendous amount of patience, and it got me thinking. And I would juxtapose it to a different experience I just had recently. I was in the Shabbos before. I was in Motzi for Shabbos. In Motzi Shabbos, I went to a Malava Malka, see a Malava Malka, for a program called Vahar Rav Noah. Some of you probably heard of it. So I heard a lot about it over Shabbos because the family I was staying by lives next door to a person also named, they're both named Rav Neumann, not related at all. There was Rav Neumann of the Sefer, Rav Neumann, who's the person who's the founder of Vahar Rav Noah. And so I got to hear all the stories about the program and how much he people have spoke about it, and his own, the person's own personal story of how he got into it, etc. And I remember Motzei Shabbos by his house because he needed to get out quickly to the Mav Malka, so we made a minyan by the house. So I got to meet him. He invited me personally to come to the event, to see the event. So what's this event? This is a program called Vahar Rav Noah, which is that we should make Torah sweet. How do you make Torah sweet? Chazering it. That's it. No grisha chachmas. He says he started this program with boys who were getting at risk. They weren't, you know, and he did a survey with these boys, their enjoyment level of learning Gemara. And they came back with ones and twos out of ten. So he says, I can promise you one thing. If you take a Gemara, you get it down the base of Pshat in the Gemara, no Grisha Torah, the base of Pshat in the Gemara, and Chazer it, and Chazer it, and Chazer it, you'll enjoy the Gemara. That's all he said to them. And he pushed these boys. He says, I promise you, just try it. What do you have to lose? Just try it. He started with these boys. And a year later, these boys were coming back with nines and tens. Their satisfaction level of learning Gemara. So he started that program. So then he started a program for younger boys, bar mitzvah boys, to finish the Masechta and Chazer it multiple times. So I was by this event, Motzei Shabbos, and I was met while over there, one of my Talmidim from Tells. So we had a nice conversation. He tells me that there's also a Balabatim program. What happened was that there was a well-to-do businessman whose son was in program number one, and the Balabas was just struck tremendously about how his son had turned around his kashya for learning, etc. So he felt there's something which really would energize Balabatim. So he went to Rabbi Neumann, gave him a check for $1 million. He says, I would like a Balabatim program in 3 days. He said, okay. So there's 40 chaburas already doing it. And they underwrite, they give out gemoras, and they give out, there's incentives along the way, etc. And they make a siyum. So this young man, he's in his 40s already, says to me that, you know, he's in this program, he's learning Daf Yomi, but besides that, he's doing this Chazor program. And it's such a very geschmack. He says the message of the Rav, who's the administrator of the program in their shul, is not more than four Rashis and a Nomad. And the Gemara at a ninth grade level, basic pshat, what the more ask, what the more answer, very basic points. Just keep chazering it again and again until you have it clear. He says, and that's what he does. And it's just very geschmack, because you're not working out every single detail. I saw myself, I had a frustration, and when I was at Bachman Tells, there was no such thing as finishing Masechta. We didn't have this. In the high school, there was no B'kiyas Limud. We went very, very quickly for Seder. We did about 50 blot in a year for Seder. And we learned it the whole day. So you would prepare it for Seder. Even ninth grader, the Bachman prepared the Gemara before Shir. And we prepared the Gemara for Seder. Then you learned it in Shir. Then you'd chazer the second Seder, you chazer it at night Seder. So we would learn it every Gemara. The day that we learned it, we would learn it four times. Then every week there was Chazor Hashua. Thursday and Friday was Chazorah. And again, you'd learn a first Seder, Shir, second Seder, and night Seder. So at the end of the week, you learn the Gemara eight times. Then every Zman, there was Chazor HaZman. And again, you learn the Gemara four times. First Seder, Shir, second Seder, night Seder. So at the end of the Zman, without doing anything extra, you learn the Gemara 12 times. But we do about 50 blot a year. We go more quickly. That was the pace that we did. And don't get me on a rant about that topic. Okay, it's a different issue. And so over the 4 years of Machinas, I did 200 blot of Gemara at least 12 times. But there was Bechinas at the Zman. The Bechinas, I think I mentioned to you, some of you one time, the Bechinas and Tells are not like that anymore. There was no written Bechinas. There was only an oral for hair. At the end of the Zman, there was an oral for hair. The Bachman would come into the Shir. We would all be there. The Rashivas would come in. You'd have three Rashivas would come in together. And they would they'd go up and down the rows and ask a question. That was your grade for the Zman. That one question. So you had everything in the Perek as best as you could, because you had no idea what your question is going to be. Now, if you didn't know, you had 10 seconds to start answering. If you didn't answer, then it was free for all. Anybody in the room could try and give an answer, and they would call out, you know, and the Rashivas would pick somebody, and he would say his answer, etc. So you had, the pressure was on. You had, within 10 seconds, recognize the question, recognize the answer, and start talking. So and then that was your grade for this month. The Rebbe, who, you know, sometimes, you know, after they would finish, the Bachman would walk out, the Rebbe would stay with the Rosh Hashivas, and he would, you know, try and push them a little bit, etc. You know, he didn't so well know the question, yeah, but he learned very well, so hit up your mark a little bit. But that's as far as it went. So if you wanted to get a good grade, you really, you know, 12 times is not enough. So during Chazar Sazman, there was guys who every night were in Beis to 1, 2 in the morning. And you pounded the Gemara again and again and again and again. So Mastama, each man, we learned every Gemara about 20 times. And it was very kishmak, because you talk and learn that. And I found, like, but you got to the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th time, things which weren't clear started fitting in. I missed this point over here. And now I understand why it's here. Everything, I started seeing a bigger picture. Especially when you're causing not one blot, two blot, you're causing a parrot. And you start seeing the parrot in context. By the fifth time, you're starting to show the Sula Gemara at the beginning of the parrot, at the end of the parrot, and that's why it's here. And you start seeing pictures, you start seeing things making sense. And all of a sudden, this Gemara, which is very challenging, it's not the standard American thought process of how to present information, started having a picture which seemed to fit. And I remember that experience, and I remember that I would just sit there, and I just loved chazaring. You know, my life is more busy now, and I have all the excuses on why I don't have time to chazar, which is not true, but that was his point. If take a balabos, and just do it the basic. You'll find, by the fourth or fifth time, like, I took a Bechira one time, and they didn't have a Masechta Bechira. They didn't push finishing Masechtas. It was all just a thing. Not my day. Now they do. You know, they do that. But, you know, guys have, you know, they learn slower for Seder and Second Seder nowadays. And basically, you did the same pace Second Seder. So it was about 50 blot first Seder, 50 blot Second Seder. So I learned Baba Kama. I had 19 blot left to do. I learned Baba Tzi, and I had about 15 blot left to do. Like, why did I ever think about not finishing it? You know, finishing the Masechta already. I never thought of it. When I do lunchtime, I used to learn. I learned Tanakh. At Harusa, we went through most of Tanakh together. We learned some small Masechtas together. A concept what I was learning, like, and I never put it together. I don't know, but, you know, I should maybe finish it. I came in your mind, I got to finish. So I said, you know what? The best way to finish is you start from that base. You go straight. I'm in new most of the blood anyway. So I would learn every Gemara. I would learn it every morning. I get up early. I would learn it once then. I would learn it once later in the day. It's besides a regular storm in Yeshiva. And then every Shabbos and Shabbos, I would chaz over those five blot for the week. From Sunday through Thursday was a blot a day. Learn twice on the day. Friday and Shabbos, I would chaz that, plus the five blot from the week before. So every Shabbos, I was learning 10 blot of Gemara. And I was causing it, you know, every Gemara was willing fourth time. By the fourth time, things started making sense. You know, I had a kash, and I realized the kash isn't a kash anymore. I didn't tell us so much, because I didn't know. But by the fourth time, my clarity of learning the Gemara made things make sense. And sometimes, okay, once I got it, you know, you'd kash it a few times, make sure you got it. So I decided one time, the first big masechta that I finished was the Doran. Big masechta, 90 blah. And the Yeshiva did not have any type of Chazorah program, any type of Bechina program, any type of incentives. But I wanted to have a Bechayiv to Chazor. So I went over to Yeshiva Reb Chaim and I asked him, could I please take a Bechina on the Masechta? Thereby be Mechayiv myself, I have to really Chazor as well. So he said, fine. says ich in der Mordechai but ich feher and nochem ben azman. So myself and Mordechai and Rashi Gifter together will give you a feher oral feher on the Masechta after Sukkot ben azman. So it's 90 blots, 6 blot a day, 15 days. You chaz over the Masechta 6 blot a day and you'll take a bechir on it. He didn't tell me that. That was what it basically came down to. I cheshvan I had to do 6 blot a day to chazer. That meant Simchas Torah and I meant Shmini Atzeres and I meant Hashanah Rabbah 6 blot a day. But as you kept, not once, because you're taking an oral for hair on a whole masechta from the Rosh Hashivas, right? But you chazered it, and you chazered it, and you chazered it, and things started making sense. Questions which I had, you started fitting in. And it was this tremendous point of chazorah, of, I'm not going to answer every single question, I'm not going to send everything, but if I can chazer over the basic points, again and again, just make sure I can speak it out clearly and get it clearly. The disciple says, if you can stay over the Gemara in your own words, like reframe it in a sense that the way it would be make sense to you, that's equivalent to four chazaras, he says. And I went to the Siyam. I went to the Siyam and I saw these boys. Some of these boys, the boys finish, small masechta, some boys finish Talmud, no problem. Siyam, Talmud. Some boys finish Sukkah, Megillah. But they chazer the Gemara 10 times, 15 times, 20 times. The minimum that you had get the Siyam being sponsored was 4 times, I think. But there's boys there many more times. But this Talmud, the Balabas, who said his son was there for that program, the Bar Mitzvah boy program, the 12 and 13 year olds, he told me he's chazering Gemaras, multiple times. During Sukkot, the Rav was the Chenas Abchachon. The Rav of the Shul was saying over Gemara. He quoted a Gemara. He quoted a blot. Sukkot Mem Beis Mem Gimel. So one of the Balabatans raised his hand and said, very apologetically, he says, the Rav of the Shulkin, I think it's Mem Beis, not Mem Gimel. She said, you're right. How do you know? He says, I chazed that Gemara over 100 times. So he knew where it is. Now some people tell me they can't remember where blot are, where it is in the Masechta. I promise you, try it. By the 100th time, you'll remember where it is. I promise you. You'll remember where it is by the 100th time. You can't prove me wrong. I mean, try. I don't care. I don't know. Prove me wrong or right. I don't care. When a person is conveying I have to tell you, we learned very quickly. First Seder, second Seder, when I was in Mechina, we had a Halacha Seder, we had a Navi Seder, we had a Chumash Seder, we had the Gemara. We did, in 4 days a week, we did over a blot a week in 4 days in Shia. We did 50 blot in 40 weeks. And remember, seven of those weeks were Chazar. So 33 weeks, it was about a blot and a half a week in 4 days. That was the pace for a Seder in high school. What do you do Thursday night Mishmar? You didn't learn something else. You chazer over to Gemara. The goal of Thursday night Mishmar was the chazer over everything you had learned that week. Get one more chazer in before you go to bed. That was the goal of Thursday night Mishmar. And there was no cholent. There's no food lot in Beis Medrash. Beis Medrash was a totally different building. Drinking wasn't allowed in Beis Medrash, except for late Thursday night. The guys, they bring, guys bring some water or something like that. But the goal wasn't another limud, just do it again. But everything you learned that week, in Beis Medrash already, so you learned about two or three blot a week between first and second Seder, plus you learned Halacha, plus you learned Chumash, plus so chazer it. And that was the goal for Thursday night. One more chance to look at the Gemara. And we chazer, and we chazer, and we chazer. So this chaver of mine is what he's been doing for the last 35 years. But he's doing it not just with the Gemara Rashi Tosis. He's doing Gemara Rashi Tosis with the Ramban and the Rashi with the Ritva, etc. But he's learning it again and again and again until he has it clear. And he's willing to do that. So of course it's safer cells. It's not, Taurus Beryl. So Taurus Beryl maybe will sell, maybe not, Taurus Yankel. It's Taurus Ramban, Ritva, Rashba. You want to hear what the Ramban, Ritva, Rashba say? Well, I can't figure it out sometimes because I'm confused. I'm not aware that there's another Ramban later on in the Parakas talks about it. I remember one time when we learned Chesed Abatim, I said Kaburas and Chesed Abatim over here. You know, I said Shir and Chesed Abatim. So famous machlokes between the Ramban and the Ksois, the Getter of Chesed Gimel Shonim. So everybody quotes a Ramban. He says, "Excuse me, before you start, you know, there's five Rambans in the parak to talk about it. So you need to see all five Rambans before you're going to say what the Rashita's Ramban is." But you know, nowadays we get stuck. Okay, nowadays it's not so bad because you have the cheat swarm which tell you where what to look. You know, but they don't, even those that weren't so good to tell you about all of them. But if you learn the whole parak a few times already beforehand, and you've seen all the Rambans, but if you chaz a few times, you realize, oh, the Ramban and Mem Beis is very important. Mem Aleph is important to know to understand the Ramban back and Chav Ches and Chav Tes and Lamed Vav. You got to see all of them to understand what the Rashita's Ramban is. Well, how do you know that? You're not going to get it the first time. That's okay. So you'll get it the second time. Now, the goal isn't, you know, to say, okay, I'm going to finish Shas. You know, you have to have Shiva for godless. I'm going to finish Shas. That's not the goal. The goal is to learn what you're learning well. And learn it well and absorb it. And absorb it well enough. Then you'll add some more. And you'll find as you go along, first of all, it gets easier to learn Shas. So, somewhere along your journey, you know, learning Tosis is very challenging. Tosis, part of it's of the job of Tosis is to challenge this Gemara based on other Gemaras and Shas. Right? You know, Tosis says, yeah, but you know, yeah, but what about the Gemara over there in Be'er? What about the Gemara over there in Babak Mitzia, Babak Kama? That's what part of what Tosis does. Tosis wants to make it that we should have a coherent understanding of this sugya with all the other sugyas and shas which are relevant to it. So I'm learning Bamatsiya, I'm learning with Kisubis, and I don't know the Gemara in Baba Basra yet. So I got to go look up the Gemara and figure out what the Gemara means, figure out what and then go back to what Tosis was asking from the Gemara, and then figure out Tosis Teres and how Tosis fits into the Gemara. It's very tedious. Right? I'm asking. It is. But at some point along your journey, you don't have to do that anymore. All of a sudden you realize, you know, oh, he's quoting Gemara and Baba. So I saw the Gemara. I remember what it asked. The Gemara said this and this and this. Okay. So Tosis is asking this and this. Tosis answered this and this. You know, it gets easier. And once Rebaron Cutler, Mishnah Rebaron, says, you know, somebody said to me, how should I have to finish Shas? You know, nowadays it's a good kasha. At the pace of you know, Yeshiva does 7, 8, 10 blot a year. 12, 15 blot a year. So you do your math. There's 2,700 plus blot in Shas. You divide it by 15, and you figure out how many years you have to live, right? You know, the higher math to figure out how many years you have to live, right? To be able to, right, finish Shas, right? My mathematicians, please, right? It's about somewhere in the area of 200 years, right? From the time Yerim and Al died, you know, because you're not doing it when you're 5 years old, right? It's a mistake. Because your abilities get better as you get older. He says, but if I make it my goal to finish, you know, I gotta finish. The guy says, I have to learn it well. And I learn it well, and I learn one thing, I learn another thing, and I learn another thing. And eventually you start having what to fall back on. But just pace yourself. Just accept that. So people tell me that, you know, the way you finish us is you learn yeshiva like X amount of blot, then you go out and become a lost. You know what I mean? I mean, the first time somebody told me that, I do have a sense of self-control, but I almost didn't. I wanted to hit him. I probably should turn off the recorder for this. But the Sima Shas, not the last one, but the one before. So the last one was in the MetLife Stadium. The one before, I went with my son to Madison Square Garden. So that's like 14 years ago. And most of the drushas were in Yiddish. And they had a simultaneous translation from Yiddish into English, you know, with the earphones going. The last time they didn't do that, they did it with the cell phone calling in, so the, and mine said crashed, because you had like 90,000 people trying to call the same cell number. It didn't work. But the time before they did, though, with the simultaneous translation. And so one person speaking, another one, and all of a sudden one person, my son says to me, he says, Ta, why are they translating? Why aren't they translating? So I started laughing. I said, because this person is getting up and he's blasting Daf Yomi. He got up in Yiddish. You know, we figure, I guess the people who understand Yiddish deserve to hear it. The people who understand English, they didn't want to translate it for. He says, that's how you learn. You learn without thinking. Daf Yomi was created by Rav Meir Shapiro for people who were Tamid Chacham, who had finished Shas and had them chazered it, and they're not going to learn Shas the first time with Daf Yomi. So maybe they missed a small masechta somewhere. It's okay, Nebuch, the person, he never learned Erechin. He never learned Tzemura, Krisis, Me'ila, Okay, good, so. But these people weren't using art scrolls to help them understand Gemara. They know how to learn. My Rashi Reb Chaim, Zichron Lebracha, started Daf Yomi by the second cycle of Daf Yomi. Except for the years that he was in Siberia during the war, he kept up with it. And he was the Messiah in Madison Square Garden. He was the Messiah. That was his ninth cycle of Daf Yomi. Rashi Reb Chaim Mushas. Daf Yomi be him, he was talking about learning well. He wouldn't, stop. But, it was a chance to cause over Gemara that he knew already. And he'd write horrors for himself on the side, etc. Different thing, that person should learn Shas through Daf Yomi is because Nebuch, we're not disciplined enough to do it ourselves. So we say, okay, well, at least we have a program which forces us to do it. And now, we're not really Roy to do it, so we need somebody to help us. So we have the art scrolls of the world to help us. The Hebrew version is a little bit firmer than the English version. There's a Yiddish version, Sumastama, that's even firmer than the Hebrew version, That's not the point. The point is a person is supposed to learn how, develop skills in yeshiva, A, develop yediyas in yeshiva, B, and use those skills and yediyas to walk through Shas as you continue through life. My brother-in-law, when he left Carlo, started working, and he moved away from the yeshiva. So he didn't have a chorus at the beginning. So he would call me with his questions, the sugyas he was learning. So he's learning. He's continuing learning through Shas. So he calls me up the first time, he says, he has a kasha. I said, okay, what can I help you? So he's learning the Ron in the back over there, and he has a kasha, I said, Moish, I'm not holding that sugya, give me a second, it was the third parak of Kedushin, the Ron in the back, that he's working out the details of the Shita. Does that mean that's what a balabas means? That's what it means a balabas is learning Gemara. Not the hour a day, Daf Yomi, I told my Tamidim and Tells, says, I'm not against a person coming about the bus. Says, there's five types of balabatim. The first balabas is, it doesn't learn, it's not an option. You're not learning. His life's too busy, he's miyuyish, he can't do it, he gives up. No. But the second one says, I'm not learning. So he goes every night to Daf Yomi, Baruch Hashem, and he falls asleep. He's very tired, he works very hard, he cares for his family, but he understands the chashivas of learning. Why is he tired? The bus is from the bench. Eventually, he falls asleep in Jir. Okay, he'll get credit in Shemai. The third balabas goes to Daf Yomi and he pushes, stays awake. He listens and he stays awake, etc. The fourth balabas goes to Shir and his mama, he participates. He's awake, he asks questions, maybe suggests an answer here and there. And the fifth balabas says the Shir. Why are you accepting yourself being numbers 1, 2, 3, 4 if you're going to be number 5? So you know what? It takes time to prepare for this year. I haven't finished Shas myself yet, right? So you say, when am I going to do it? How can I present this year? Just start. Start, make a rotation. I know what they have a rotation. They take turns preparing. Okay, so I only have to prepare once a week. You're preparing a Gemara. That's a whole different. You're working through the details because you need to answer anybody's question. That's not stam superficial learning. That's thinking already. Rashiva one time said somebody. Rashiva was a very big proponent of learning more and quickly, etc. So once somebody wrote a letter to Rishon Yeshiva, that the Yeshiva believes in learning Bikiyas. I heard the Yeshiva believes in learning Bikiyas. That was the wrong thing to say to Rabbi Kishter. So in the next shmuz, the Yeshiva gets up and he says, "Anime Shribin, you know, somebody said, you know, the shmuz in Yiddish, and somebody sent me a letter that I believe in learning Bikiyas. I don't know what the word means. Bikiyas is used to describe people who learn without thinking. How's that Bikiyas? So what does it mean? And that's not called learning. So a learner on a cup, you should learn without a head? What do you mean you learn without a head? What do you mean you learn without thinking? Well, just so trachten, you have to think. Without trachten schnell, you have to think faster. So I asked Rashiva after the shmuz, "Can Rashiva please explain to me how you train yourself to think faster?" Metrach schnell. That was the answer. It was very helpful. I still don't know the answer to the question. Right? How do you train yourself to think? But eventually, I understood what he was saying. You know, from his vantage point, shkoyach, you know, like, you know, I'll tell you, they say that on the 25th time around Shas, it's easier. That's what they say, you know. It's probably true. What does that help us? You know, tzach shnel, you know, shkoyach. But that nakuda, that there is a point of learning it and realizing it, you're going to need more information to answer the question, that's not called not thinking. That's called understanding. If I open up Lahavdil, I open up a physics book and I read the first page and I have a question, I understand the book's going to answer the question. Just give me time to read the book. And Shiva used to make fun of that. It says, you know, the other end of the spectrum is the guy who's the lambda in the first word. Shiva used to say, Arba Avos Nezikin. He said, Arba Avos Nezikin. Arba Avos. There's only three Avos. Arba Avos. I said, go to Gasha. There's only three. Ah, Nezikin. Terence. You know, that's what Shiva's response to that was, you know. Says, so the person asks him a kasha. He says, you know, it's a good kasha. The more enough test, ask the kasha. So what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to suspend your mind till daftes? You're supposed to know daftes. You know, I give you a mashal. Yevamos. I mean, Yevamos is, we don't learn Yevamos in Yeshiva. For the reason is because Yevamos is very challenging. Yevamos, you cannot learn daf beis, daf gimel, daf zayin, daf ches, daf tes, daf yud, until you learn daf your zayin, and your ches, and your tes, and chof. And Chav Zayin, and Chav Ches, and Chav Tes, and Lamed. You can't learn Chav Zayin until you learn that basic. You can't do it. So what's the answer? So Reb Nachum in the mirror, when they were learning, he didn't say Shir for the first month. He said, everybody should learn the first 30 block. How many times? As many as you can. Basic shot, Gemara Rashi. Learn it over the first 30 blot, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times. Now we can start learning the Gemara. Because you can't discuss everything on page 1 if you haven't read page 40. Yeah, so sometimes you just need somebody to tell you how to do that. So sometimes you need to think about it over here. Sometimes you realize that you don't have enough information to think about it over here. So you can raise the question and say, I don't know, and go weiter. And Shiva one time told us that somebody sent the question to the stipler, to the Rugger Shover. The Rugger Shover wrote back a list of Marmar Kermis. The person said he could not make heads or tails out of the list of Marmar Kermis. So, Rashiba had two postcards from the Rugger Shover. He sent questions to the Rugger Shover. Rugger Shover had responded to him. Like anything in those days, you know, you send the kasha to the Rugger Shover to get an answer, you know. So he got he showed us the cards. He had the postcards from the Rugger Shover. He gave a whole shiur on the postcard, you know, the three lines on the postcard. There's this list of Marmar Kermis. It doesn't make any sense. So finally chap what it is. It's all Tosfos and Shas with live shmir. Like he listed like 15, 20 Tosfos and Shas with Tosfos and Akash doesn't do with Eretz. It's okay, the live shmir sometimes. I don't know. Rashi one time walked in the shiur about, you know, somebody, you know, gave him this whole thing. How can you go right if you don't understand all the answer to your teretz? He says, so he went through X amount of Kivagas with Kivagas by Sarachin. He says, you know, Kivagas had Sarachin and Kivagas went to sleep that night. sometimes the answer you don't know, go right there. Sometimes you realize as you go right there, you'll figure out the answer. But that's clear that getting stuck on something is important to think, but getting stuck on something keeps you from getting the information that you need. So of course you're not going to be happy. So you write down what bothers you. The Shiva would say, used to write down and go right there. And you'll find some point in time you have the answer to your question most of the time. And this process of doing it again and again. So the she'ifa for godless, we sell she'ifa for godless, you come with gadol ador. No, that's not what you're selling. She'ifa for godless is that you want to know what you're learning. You want to know it well. You want to make it your, it belongs to you. And if you do that a little bit at a time, you look at 5 years of learning, whether you're yeshiva or not, whatever you're doing, you're going to chazer, you're going to learn it well, you're going to write it down, you're going to figure it out, you're going to get it clear over a period of time. You look back, and you know what? I actually have been kind of a chelik of Shas. I've been kind of a chelik of Torah. I actually know this. And that's what the she'ifa we need to push ourselves is to make sure that what we're learning is ours, it belongs to us, through chazara, through thinking, through writing, through thinking it through yourself, etc.